You guys can have a seat this morning. Well, we are so thankful that you guys are here. Thank you guys for being here in the room, and thank you to everyone who is online with us. If you don't know, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here, and we count it a privilege. We really do, that you would be here with us, and we are doing our best to try and stay connected to you and with you, but that connection card, whether you're online or here in the room, is so important. Let us know how to pray with you and for you. And so we hope that you'll take the time to do that, because our team really does meet every week, and we pray over every one of those things, and just ask God to show up in your life. Well, we're going to continue our teaching series called The Grave Robber, based off of a book by Mark Batterson, who is a pastor in Washington, D.C., and God is just using them to do amazing things there in the D.C. area and reaching people with that good news message. But the overarching theme or question that we are asking as we go through this series is, what miracle do you need to see happen in 2021? But we're very quick to point out that we aren't to seek miracles. Every week we've been saying this, we are not to seek miracles, we are called to seek Jesus. And as Mark Batterson argues in his book, the longer you walk with Jesus, that you follow Jesus, you'll just find yourself in the middle of a miracle. And so that's the first and most important thing. That being said, my question for us this morning is, what do you want? And students, kids, I don't mean an Oculus, right? For, you know, the virtual reality gaming system. I don't mean a new phone. You know, I don't mean a new car or, you know, a new home or a vacation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, as we have called you, the church, as we have called you, the church, to seek Jesus over these 21 days in prayer and fasting, what is it that you really want? What are you seeking Him for? Is it for a supernatural, like, miracle healing? Is it that the doctors have said there's nothing else that we can do for you medically, and you are just seeking God? God, will somehow you bring healing? Are you praying for healing for somebody else? There are people in my life right now that I'm praying that very thing for. Are you? What is it that you want? What is it that you're asking God for? Is it that you're asking God to restore a relationship that is broken? Is it that you're asking God to restore a marriage? Is it that you're asking God and you're seeking Him for the salvation of somebody that you deeply love? Or a coworker? What is it that you're seeking God during this time? But then there's this other question that I have for us, and it's this. What is your "I can't"? What is it that you say that you want, but in your mind you're thinking, it will never happen, it can't happen? What is your "I can't"? I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of sitting down with a homeless person and, like, really getting to know them. I'm talking about sharing a meal with them. But I've had that privilege on a few occasions. And as I sit there and I listen to their story, and then I ask them, what do you want? And they want an apartment. They want, they say they want, you know, clothing and food and all that stuff. And then when I say, well, hey, let me connect you with this person because they're hiring and they would probably give you a job, then all of a sudden it's like, well, I don't want it that bad. Right? We find ourselves in the same situation. You say you want something from God, but do you really? So many times we put these self-imposed "I can'ts" in our life. You are praying for a relationship to be restored, but you're unwilling to forgive. How would it ever be restored if you're not willing to forgive? But they, no, we're talking about you. You are praying for the salvation of one of your co-workers. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, God, they are so far from you. They're never going to come to you. You're praying for the salvation of this person. And when you go to work, you are never looking for the opportunity to just to plant some seed. You don't look for that opportunity to hand them that You Matter card and to say, hey, I just want to let you know that you matter to God. Just last night, Zoe and I got a text from a young lady that we had given a You Matter card to literally at least three or four years ago. She just texted us last night. We haven't seen her in a long time. She says, I want you to know I still think of you guys every time I open up my server book because your You Matter card is right there. You just never know. Are you willing? You say you want this, but are you? Well, what is your I can't? We all have self-imposed I can'ts. And here's what we need to do. We need to replace our I can't with God can. Because God can. And this is what we'll see in John chapter 5. Will you take your Bibles, open up your Bible. If you have your Bible, I hope you have it. If whether it's on your phone or you have a hard copy, open up to John chapter 5. I'm going to put my Bible here on the screens as we walk through this. But it's John chapter 5. We're going to look at this story of this paralyzed man who was paralyzed for 38 years. Yes, you heard that right, 38 years. And then Jesus healed him. And I want us to walk through this story and let's see what God has for you here today, whether you're here or whether you're there online with us. So here we go. In verse number 1, afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with 5 covered porches. I want to pause there for just a second and I want us to notice all the detail. And then I want us to realize what has happened for years that people have used, that critics of the Christian faith have used this verse to poke holes in the Bible. To say, see, the Bible's really not true. Because for years they had tried to discover and find out what this pool of Bethesda, there was no such thing, they thought. Until the late 19th century. In the late 19th century, the archaeologists actually discovered the pool of Bethesda with 5 covered porches all around it. Some of the very reasons why maybe some of you kind of like doubt that, you know, can we really trust what the Bible says? And are these very things that we call miracles, that we see Jesus do, these miracles, these supernatural miracles. And in the technical sense of the word, we mean where it defies the laws of science. That's what we're going to see here today. This actually defies the law of science. And we think, can this really be true? And yet, we see time and time again, we can trust the Scripture. We're going to see this because even in the next verse, it says, crowds of sick people, blind, lamed, or paralyzed, would lay on these porches. Now, just practically, they would lay on these porches because this would, one, the porches would keep them out of that hot Middle Eastern sun. They would gather around the pool, this large pool there, because this was a gathering place for everybody to come. And if you had one of these ailments, if you were blind, lame, or you were paralyzed, this is your form of trying to survive was begging. And so it would be like you want to go where the crowds are. You want to go to the Providence Place Mall where all the people are at Christmas time, right? Or Warwick Mall, wherever all the crowds, of course, pre-COVID. You want to go where the crowds are, right? Because that's where it's at. This is what the Bible is telling us. It gives us this detail about where they went. And then we can trust the Bible. The very next verse is verse 5 in my Bible. It went from 3 to 5. What happened? Where's verse 4? In most of our Bibles, there's a footnote about verse 4. And it's in the footnote of verse 4 because in the Bible that we hold tells us. See, this is why there's not some kind of conspiracy theory about the Scripture. What we have is the honest-to-goodness truth. In our very footnote of the Bible, it tells us that verse 4 was not found in the earliest of manuscripts before the 4th century. And that's why a lot of the translations don't add it there, but it's at a footnote. So we can trust when there are critical points to point out about the Bible, they've already pointed them out. It's not like we're trying to hide something. We can trust the Scripture. And so, verse 5, it was one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. So there he is, been paralyzed for 38 years. In this place and time in history, if you remove infant deaths, the life expectancy of a person was only 40 years. This man had been paralyzed for 38 years. He is well past the average lifespan of the average person who could live during this century, in this place and time in history. We don't know if he became paralyzed as an elementary kid, as a teenager, as a young adult. We have no idea. But what we do know is that he had been paralyzed for 38 years. And what happens? Well, Jesus walks upon him. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" Could I just encourage you here? The man's been sick for 38 years, but Jesus still saw him and he knew that he had been ill for a long time. He sees you. Can I tell you that he sees you? He sees you right where you are. He knows what you are dealing with, and he knows that you've been dealing with it for a very long time. Don't give up. We have a Savior that sees you right where you're at. And then he asks this question that anybody around, anybody in this crowd, they're thinking, why would that guy ask him? Does he want to get well? Of course he wants to get well. Because Jesus is helping him to get to that inner, do you really want to get well? And the man's immediate answer is, "I can't, sir." There's our "I can't." I can't. What is your "I can't"? This man's "I can't" was, "For I have no one to put me into the pool. For when the waters bubble up, someone else always gets there ahead of me." Let me explain. And Bible scholars believe this is why verse 4 was added later, to try and help bring some clarity around what do they mean the waters were bubbled. But then also there's the Bible scholars that believe that this was really about this superstition. So every once in a while, around this pool of Bethesda, the waters, whether it was from an underground spring, they don't know, but the waters would just kind of bubble up. They would stir. And the superstition was that if you would be the first one in, then you're the winner. You're healed. If you could just get yourself in there. You know, it's like Mark Batterson says, "Winner, winner, chicken dinner," right? So that's what people kind of think. All of a sudden, I'll win if I'm the first one in. You say, that's kind of silly. Just this week, and I told my daughter I was going to do this. Just this week, my youngest, we're having dinner. And she's telling us this thing, and then all of a sudden, she does this. She's telling us, "I hope it doesn't happen to us." And I'm like, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm knocking on wood, Dad, because then we're not jinxing ourselves." I'm like, "Katie," I said her name, "Katie Mae." I didn't say I was going to say her name, but I did say, "Yes, sorry, Katie Mae." I said, "Katie," I said, "that's superstition." I said, "We don't believe you really think if you knock on wood, it's not going to happen to you. Come on." They thought the same thing. How many of you will say something and then you'll be like, "Oh, knock on wood." Right? Same thing right here. See, the Bible's so relatable. It meets us right where we're at. And that's what they're thinking. But I wonder, let's get back to the practical application of our "I can't." Here's what we need to do. Remember, we need to replace our "I can't" and look where this man had his misplaced hope. It was in someone else. Oh, if they would only. What's your "I can't"? you're thinking, but if, you know, it's never going to happen because they won't. We need to replace our I can't with God can. Do you remember that time when the angel appeared before Mary and was telling her everything that's going to happen? And then said, also your relatives, you know, even though they're older in age, they're going to, you know, have a baby too. And Mary's thinking, like, how can this be? And then the angel said this in Luke 1, 37, for nothing is impossible with God. We have to replace our I can'ts with God can. And Jesus told that man, he looks at that man that's been paralyzed for 38 years, the man who thought he had been forgotten, the man who had been there week, year after year after year, thinking nothing is ever going to change in my life. In fact, he's at the end of his life expectancy. And Jesus looks at him and just says, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. And instantly, the man was healed. See, this is a miracle because it defies the laws of natural science. Because somebody who had never used their leg muscles before, say it out loud, Dr. Greg. Atrophy. How come I can't say that word? Atrophy. The atrophy that sets in, right? Your muscles deteriorate. All of a sudden, this man, he gets up and he does walk instantly. It happened immediately. You say, well, that's only in the Bible. I'm going to share with you a story that Mark Batterson writes in his book about a young family, Jason and Amy. Jason and Amy had a kindergartner. His name was Ethan. And in kindergarten, they live in Philly. And there, they realized, as their son Ethan was in kindergarten, that he had severe hearing loss in his ear. So, you know, going and seeing ENTs and other specialists to figure out what's going on, they realized that he had a disease, cholesteatoma. Did I say that right, Dr. Greg? Cholesteatoma, which is like a cyst that's growing on the inner ear, and it eats away at your eardrum and your bone. And over a couple of years, they had different types of surgeries. But then it came to the time when they were going to have to make a major decision for a major surgery, where they have to go in there because this disease kept on eating away at that inner bone, and they said that it was right to the lining of the brain. Just before that happened, the mom, Amy, she's reading her daily devotional from a book called Jesus Calling. Her son, Ethan, walks into the room as she's reading. And the little boy, Ethan, says, turn to my birthday. And on my birthday, what does it say? And so Amy flipped to August the 20th and read these words. I am the God who heals. I heal broken bodies, broken minds, broken hearts, broken lives, and broken relationships. My very presence has immense healing powers. You cannot live close to me without experiencing some degree of healing. Amy started crying the second she read it. She felt like that promise was for her. And so she started circling it in prayer. By faith, Amy said to Ethan, I believe God is telling us that he's going to heal you. And then she asked Ethan if he thought God would do it. And 8-year-old Ethan said, a man can only hope. Well, on June the 7th of 2013, they go in for this surgery. And they were told it was going to be a 4-hour surgery and that there would be regular updates every 45 minutes or so. And after the first hour, a nurse did come in and gave them an update. But then after that, It was hour after hour until what they thought was supposed to be a 4-hour turned into a 6-hour. And then on the 7th hour, they still hadn't heard anything. And obviously their anxiety was full. A nurse comes out and says, the surgeon will be out to speak to you. That's all the information I have. So their hearts drop. They're like, what? Here's what the doctor said as the surgeon came out. The CT scan prior to surgery was completely different from the CT scan that we had did just a few months before. The cholesteatoma was nowhere to be found. The parts of the inner ear that had been completely eroded by the disease were completely regenerated. The doctor scratched his head and said, there is no explanation for it. But then here were Amy's words. To say I was in shock would be an understatement. We looked at each other in utter amazement. We prayed for this and hard, but we were still surprised when God answered those prayers. From what all the doctors tell us, this isn't even possible. Skull bone doesn't restore itself. Cholesteatoma cannot go away on its own. It's just not physically possible. But it's God possible. God can still work supernatural miracles. He doesn't do them all the time. He doesn't do them on your timetable or my timetable. But is it possible? Yes. We have to replace our I can'ts with I can. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. But he replied, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. Who said such a thing as that? They demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But at some point later, Jesus reconnects with this same man. Last week we looked. Last week's outcome was totally different than what we're going to see here this week. Jesus connects with him. But afterward, Jesus found the man who was once paralyzed. Now he's walking around in the temple. He hadn't done that for 38 years. And he told him this. Now you are well. Now that you're physically well. So now you are physically well. So stop sinning. Or something worse may happen to you. There's two ways that this can be interpreted. There's one way that it can be interpreted is where this man never looked at Jesus as Messiah, the Savior, and what Jesus and that this man went back to live in his same old sinful lifestyle. In the fact that, however he was living before he was paralyzed, and Jesus is saying, or something worse than being paralyzed for 38 years could happen to you. That's one way of looking at it. I choose a different way. I think what Jesus is telling them, now that you're physically healed, that you're physically well, he's telling them to stop sinning. And how does he stop sinning? Because he's rejecting Jesus as Messiah, as Savior. And when he says, or something worse may happen to you, what could be worse than being in that time period of history without all the resources to help? What could be worse than being paralyzed for 38 years? And I'll tell you what is worse, and that is to be forever separated from God for eternity in a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, in a place where God's presence, His grace, and His mercy can never show up. That would be much worse. And in the very context of salvation, it's a supernatural miracle that something happens when somebody gives their life to Jesus. This is not natural. It can't be, because we are dead. We sing these songs here today. And how many times did we hear that idea? Because it's a theology that we are dead until we come to Christ. We are spiritually dead until we acknowledge that Jesus is Messiah. And Jesus is saying to him that if you die, if you breathe your last breath and you're at the end of your life, something worse is going to happen to you. You're going to be forever separated from God. In the very context of salvation, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus looked at this, the disciples that were around him, and this guy who was very wealthy. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, again, can't get into all the context, but it's about salvation, it's impossible. It's impossible, but with God, everything is possible. With God, it is possible that no matter who you are, no matter your past, no matter what you have done, it is possible for you to come into a relationship with God. Here is how. The Apostle Paul explains it this way in Colossians chapter 2. Because we were dead. Paul says we were dead because of our sins. Because that keeps us separated. And yet, because we have this holy God, we sang about this holy God. And because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. It wasn't cut away until you, this supernatural thing that happens inside in your spirit, you get spiritual life. You come alive. You see things differently. That's what this is talking about. And then God made you alive with Christ. For He forgave all your sins. That's when this happens. And then we come alive, and that is a miracle because it's not natural. Where are you? Do you have that saving faith that has brought a miracle, a spiritual miracle inside of you? Would you look at our connection card, and on there are next steps. And look at the very first next step. It says, I desire to experience the miracle of saving faith before I find myself forever separated from God. And man, we want to give you the opportunity to acknowledge that. We want to pray for you. And we want you to receive Jesus as Savior, as Messiah. This is the most important thing before something worse happens to you. If it's easier for you just to text the word trust to our texting phone number, 401-496-9710. Will you let us know? Because we want to help you on this journey. We have a Bible. We want to give you a reading plan. Because when you get a Bible, you're going to be like, where do I start? We will help you with all of that. Because you are just becoming alive to God spiritually. You have this new life inside of you. We want to help you with that. That's why this is so important. So we hope that you will indicate it on your connection card, or that you'll just text the word trust to us. And we will be praying for you this week. Now, for all the Christ followers that are in the room, there's something that you need to replace in your life. There's something that I need to replace in my life. We need to replace our I can't with God can. And that's what this other next step is about. It says, I have a lot of self-imposed I can'ts in my life. I need change on many different levels. Pray for me. We want to pray for you. There's somebody who's feeling like this has just went on year after year after year in your life, and you're like, God, where are you? Can I just tell you that He sees you? Can I just remind you that He is there. And He wants you to be encouraged. He doesn't want you to lose hope. He wants you to trust. Even though the outcome isn't what you had hoped for. Even though the outcome isn't what you had planned on. He's telling you to just continue to trust Him. And you know what? Here's what I can say confidently. And I can promise you that if it's not made right here on this earth, it will be made right when you meet Jesus. And then you can get your full explanation of why it didn't happen here. And there are many prayers that I have prayed for others that I don't understand why it didn't happen the way that I was praying, because it all made sense to me. find yourself in that place? Do you need to replace your "I can't" with "God can"? You can text us the word "pray" to that same texting phone number, and we're going to pray for you this week. And we're going to pray that you will not lose hope, that you will be encouraged, that you will see God at work, even if He doesn't answer the way that you were hoping and praying. But you can trust that you've got a Savior who's not just walking with you, but He's working out His kingdom plan. And so, Father, I pray that for every Christ follower, every person who already has named you as Messiah and Savior, God, we are praying for them. We are praying that all of our "I can'ts," we're going to bring them to you. We're going to lay them at your feet. And God, we're going to trust. We're going to take our misplaced hope in whatever or whoever we were trusting in, and we're going to look to you, knowing that with you all things are possible. And Father, we're praying for those who need to give their life to you. Jesus, will you call them? Will you give them the understanding that they need, that you, for you to be Savior of their life? Please, God, come and do your miracle work here. In Jesus' name, amen.